This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham filling in for the Triple Threat, being joined now by Barry Trammell, columnist for the Oklahoman. Been covering the Thunder for a really long time. Barry, of course, one of the biggest reasons that folks know your name nationally outside of the state of Oklahoma is because Russell Westbrook doesn't like talking to you. Why is that, Barry?
I never have figured that out. That's a good question. I actually don't think it's anything personal. I think he likes to have the media as an enemy. And he just sort of picked me out because maybe I've been around the longest, and he knows I was there when he got here. But I don't think it's anything I've written. Maybe he doesn't like my oaky twang. Maybe that's it. I don't know. but I don't think it's personal. I think it was just, it's more of Russell just sort of creating some enemies.
Yeah, you see that from stars all the time, that it's a way to just kind of get a chip on their shoulder and figure out a way to kind of, you know, fuel fire a little bit. I, for one, love the Oki twang. What are the Rockets getting in Westbrook? What's the good and the bad?
The good is he's the most entertaining athlete in American sport. You can't take your eyes off of him. He's always doing something wild, either wildly spectacular or wildly destructive. He's literally averaged a triple-double three straight years. In the history of mankind, at the highest level of basketball, that's been done once by Oscar Robertson 57 years ago. So he's a phenomenal player, but he does have issues. He can't shoot very well. His outside shot is getting worse, not better. He's an outstanding point guard, an excellent ball distributor, very good passer, led the NBA in assists two straight years. But on occasion, his decision-making is suspect. He plays incredibly hard, but at a cost of sometimes loafing on defense. He can wear on a team's culture, I would say. But most guys are like that. I mean, he stays at war with the refs, but most superstars do, so... There's good and there's bad with Westbrook. It seems a little bit of a shaky fit to me with James Harden. But I thought Chris Paul was a shaky fit, and that works great for the Rockets. So what do I know?
So, Barry, just piggybacking off of what you just said, if you had to grade the trade that the Rockets made for Chris Paul back in the day, would you say that trade is a failure, or would you say that that was a pretty good trade?
Now, which trade are we talking about?
The trade that the Rockets made for Chris Paul.
Oh, I think that's a great trade. With the Clippers. Now, I think it worked out for the Clippers too. But, you know, the Rockets were a really good team, and then in 17-18 season, I mean, the Rockets were the number one seed in the West, and frankly, had to. Warriors on the ropes in the West Finals until CP got hurt. So you have to say that Houston did a great job putting that team together. And frankly, they were good this year again. They were the second best team in the NBA, I think. Again, just injuries kept them, you know, the win total down. But when they had their guys, they were really good and had a chance to win again against Golden State. So I think it was working magnificently. Now, why it got off center chemistry wise, I don't know. You guys know more about that than I do. But from afar, the Rockets look like a great, well-oiled machine.
Okay, I appreciate that, Cosign. There was a different host on a previous show that completely disagreed with that trade, but I'm glad I got that Cosign from you, Barry. My next question is this. As somebody that's been covering the Thunder and Russ since he's arrived, in OKC, talk to me about his maturation as a player. You know, the Russ Westbrook that first got there when he was a rookie, until what he's become now as a player? And how is that going to translate, you think, here in Houston?
Well, Westbrook, I think, deserves credit for constantly improving his game. He was not a point guard at UCLA. He was, you know, an off guard or a wing or just sort of a, you know, a daredevil running around creating havoc. And the Thunder, to their credit, drafted him and said, this guy can play point guard. And there were some rough spots. But he became a good point guard, and then he became a great point guard. And his transition game is outstanding. I mean, he's still as quick as anybody up and down the court. His passing is fantastic. He's very underrated as a passer. So his court vision is excellent. In the early days, people kept saying he's not a point guard, he's a point guard. Well, that's laughable now. He's a fantastic point guard. His shooting has become and gone, and it's been getting worse. 2 years ago, he shot a career high from three-point range, but the last 2 years, he's been at 29% from three-point range, and sort of alarming, his free throw shooting has cratered. He shot 65% from the line this past season, and he was a career 80% guy all of his career. So I don't know what's going on there. It's got to be all psychological, lack of concentration, whatever. But for the most part, he's really improved his game most years, and he should be credited for that. He's one of the best rebounding guards in NBA history. Now, Steven Adams let him have about two a game on the defensive end. So he's going to miss that. Steven Adams' value as a rebounder is going to go way up because he's just not going to get all the rebounds instead of letting Russ have them. But he's still a really good rebounder. A guard, let's say he doesn't average 10 a game. Let's say he averages 8 a game. You still got a point guard averaging 8 rebounds a game. So he's got a lot to like about his game. But he's also 31, and he's not as explosive as he used to be. Not quite as fast as he used to be. He used to be indestructible. He's now, injuries are a little bit. He's had 5 knee surgeries. Now, all of that stems from Patrick Beverly in 2013, that playoff collision. None of them have been major, but anytime you get cut on when you're in your 30s, it's not a good thing. So, you know, you got to worry a little bit about that. Of course, you know, the Rockets had a guy that they had to worry about in that with Chris Paul. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I can tell you this, you won't be able to take your eyes off the guy.
Being joined by Barry Trammell, columnist for the Oklahoman, covers the Thunder in Oklahoma City. He's been doing it for a long time. He's been doing it, I believe, since the beginning of that franchise when they moved from Seattle. So you've seen Russell Westbrook and James Harden play on the floor at the same time, albeit Kevin Durant was there at the same time as well. But how does the pairing of Westbrook and Harden, how can they play on the floor together?
Well, it's not a great fit. With Harden becoming the point guard and igniter of the offense that he's become, that's not what he did in Oklahoma City when he played with Durant and Westbrook. Truthfully, they finished games, but for the most part, when Westbrook went out, Harden was on the floor, and usually Durant was with him. So Durant and Harden were more of a tandem than Westbrook-Harden. The skill set of Westbrook doesn't seem to jive with James Harden. In fact, just today we were talking on a podcast in the office. You know, 20 seconds left in a tie game, Houston ball. I assume the Rockets are going to do what the Rockets have been doing for a long time. Inbound to James Harden, and he dribbles the clock down. Westbrook just standing over there with his hands on his knees. I don't know how that's going to go. I don't even know if Westbrook's going to be in the game because D'Antoni, he likes to surround with shooters, and the Rockets they can fill the floor with shooters. With one possession, maybe he wants Tucker, Gordon, Green, and Rivers, all four on the floor. Maybe Westbrook isn't even out there. The first time that happens, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a Carmelo Anthony situation, but it's going to be an adjustment for Russell Westbrook, and that's something to keep an eye on.
Hey, Barry, thanks for taking the time and joining us today. Enjoy all your work, watching it from afar, and just thanks for the time.
You bet. Glad to do it.
It's Barry Trammell, a columnist for the Oklahoman. You can find him on Twitter at Barry Trammell. He's been covering the Thunder for as long as they've been in that city. You know, it does bring up an interesting point about late-in-game situations. I think sometimes we overrate late-in-game situations because how many times do you actually go to that spot? Maybe 3 to 4 times in a regular season, maybe once or twice in the postseason. And this was a conversation that people in Miami had. Well, who's going to take the last shot between LeBron and Wade? Look, they're going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out. If you're asking me, who do I want to have the ball in his hands in the last moment, it depends on the situation. Like, if I need somebody to go to the rim, I want that to be Westbrook. If I need somebody to isolate and get his own shot, I want that to be Harden. But I'm just excited about the other 47 minutes, not the last minute of a game.
Right. The thing that the guys out in Miami, when they, you know, you talked about LeBron and D-Wade, they had to work through those things. There was issues that they had early on when they first joined together as a super team. Figuring out who's going to take that last shot. And in the first year, it became Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade still was the man. But as time moved on, LeBron James took over that role, and that's when they started winning championships, when he was the guy that they went to down the stretch. I think the difference between that and here is I don't think that Westbrook is going to have any problems deferring because he did that last year with Paul George. Yep. Paul George had an amazing season last year. I think he ended up third in the MVP voting, and it was well-deserved. He was putting up ridiculous numbers on both sides of the court, and so offense and defense. And so I think that Westbrook is going to defer to Harden at times, but I think at other times they're going to go to Westbrook because I think that, like you mentioned before, it's going to be about matchup. It's going to be about, you know, do we need to get somebody to penetrate and get us a bucket, get fouled and get to the line, or do we need somebody to step back and hit the three? They have two guys that can do that. And I think that the great thing about, you know, the Rockets this season during the regular season, they're not going to come down to that many late game situations. What we're talking about now is really what's going to really matter is when they get into the playoffs and they get to those, you know, games five, game sixes and game sevens. And I think that with them both being on the roster, they both will be they'll be fresher players. And them being fresher players is going to lend them to coming out on top on some of those games where they've been falling short on their own.
Yeah, I've said I want Westbrook the first 10 seconds of the shot clock to be Westbrook's, the last 14 seconds of the shot clock to be Harden's, and ultimately it's going to come down to Mike D'Antoni, who is this great offensive mind. Let's see that offensive worth next season whenever you have two MVPs, two of the last three MVPs on the floor at the same time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.